lady's name that taught me piano lessons years ago. And a wonderful little lady, Nazarene. And man, she had the spirit in her, and she just loved us all as we learned to play the piano and stuff like that. And I never will forget my brother. Our first recital. You know, recitals are something where you get up in front of people and perform something you don't know. You really don't want to do it as children, but I never remember Kent. He was real nervous, and he got up there and he started playing this piano song and played it. It was all done by memorization, you know. He played it and he played it and he played it. And finally she got up and stood beside him and said, "That's all of it." And he got up, she said, he never found a place to stop. He was so nervous. And I did the same thing when I was playing. And I keep Ms. Reason, Mr. and Ms. Reason. He was a pastor of Nazarene Church, and she's a piano teacher. And oh, she was a good one, and she just loved us to death. But she cherished every one of those moments, and I never will forget her stopping us and saying, that's enough, that's all. And we quit. But that's, you know, you get nervous sometimes and you do things, and you know, it's, you know, people don't realize how much pressure is on people sometimes. And it's just good that we have a church that doesn't matter who sings and who plays, they love them to death. And you always encourage, especially these young people, these little kids and children, they needed our encouragement. Just don't take a lot to get them to stop. And you need to keep them going. And so it's great. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to a passage of Scripture I've read many times, and one of, I think it's Rhonda's favorite, Galatians 2:20. It's very simple. It's Paul's life. He said, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by, and the life which I live, I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for these that have come. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you touch us each one at the point of our need tonight, and we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Our lives go through this world. I heard a preacher the other day talking about someone that passed away, Rhonda's aunt, and it's like a boat, and it comes full circle and comes back to the dock in which it set out. Our lives for God are passing moments as we continue to go through this life, you see, and continue on our way. I never will forget God leading us here in 1985. And, you know, we're kind of captains of our ship and masters of our fate, but it starts with faith in Jesus Christ and what we're going to do with Jesus Christ in our lives that really make the difference in where we live. What do you do with Jesus Christ? And faith in our hearts tells us about what one's personal life, what course and destiny he will take. You see, the Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So life has some things in common for each one of us. You know, the life, he says, I live. Paul says, "The life I live." You know, we have four common things in our life that we all see. And we were talking about the other day, we are born into this world. And you don't have any choice to whose your parents are. We're born into this world, and we all live that life. We live our lives. We live it. Jesus says, "Well, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And then we die. We're born, we live, and we die. And at the end, we stand before God. And in our life, we give an account for what we've done. Paul says, the life I live in Christ. You see, between death and birth and death, we write a book with our lives, so to speak. You know, millions have lived before us. We've studied them in history. Someone will look back over their life one day, and your life will have influenced them in some way or the other. As I said about Miss Reason, she was a wonderful little lady, and I believe she influenced my life more than I realized. When I hear someone sing and the music and the words that are there, I think of that lady. I couldn't remember her name a while ago, but I asked God, I said, God, let me remember her name. Don't let me forget. Because you know why? If I forget her name, then there's no one to ask anymore. You see? Everybody that I've known through the years have died or gone or lost their memory that I know. And just as I was sitting here thinking, Reason came up. And I thought about Ms. Reason as one. I won't ever forget that lady. I don't want to ever forget her because she's had an impact on my life in the music part of my life I believe in the worship of my life because I saw how her and her husband lived their life and how happy they were in Christ. And every man's life has a journey and a beginning at birth and will end at the throne of God. Paul says, the life I live, it's an individual venture. I can't live it for you. You know, I have children and you have children, we have grandchildren. You know, we would love to do things different in their life, wouldn't we? But we can't live that life for them. They have to live it on their own. Paul said, the life I live. And in that statement, there are great possibilities in life. It could be a great potential for good, as we know that his life was. I think we studied in our lesson this morning as he stood before Agrippa. You know, there's great potential for good in that life. This summer we went to see Billy Graham's birthplace and where he was buried, and Ruth, and what was his singers that always sing? George Beverly Shea. They were there in their monument for them. And then we went into his library and his old home and library and his museum there. And in every room, you walk through his life. And in every room, something played about his life. And he was preaching to thousands. And you could hear him preaching to those thousands. And they told something about his life and things that he had done, his wife, Ruth, and how they had influenced people. D.L. Moody, who vowed he wouldn't let the sun go down until he spoke to someone about the Savior, was a man who influenced his life. You know, there's also, in that statement, the life I live is a potential not only for good, but there's a potential for bad there. You see, some people have come along in life's history and instead of bringing something they could contribute to humanity, they taught something that was bad. Now, your life has the potential of good or bad. And I think about the path, what path are you taking? It largely determines on what you believe about Jesus Christ and how he influences your life. Zach was telling me one time in one of his studies that he did in China, we think that Adolf Hitler massacred many thousands and thousands of Jews and how bad he was, and his life was really hurtful when you think of something like that. He was talking about in China, Mao Zedong claimed himself to be a god. And he murdered thousands and thousands and thousands of his own people. And the world never knew about it. They just died. And he had them buried, thrown in a ditch. You know? You have a choice to live a life that is potentially good and influence thousands of people to Christ like Billy Graham. And leave behind a legacy like that where one can speak positive. Or you can live a life like Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, and influence people for the worst in life. Read an article the other day that said 36% of the millennials now think that communism is good. And I don't see how in the world we can train up people in the United States to think that that was good. And it's the same way with socialism. How in the world can our generation, be so blind to what it does? We've got a potential to good or bad. And we, as I said this morning, better be influencing our children to live for Christ, you see. There's no worse person on the face of the earth than someone like Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong that had killed so many people and done away with so many good things than those two. And yet there's no other person on earth that I know of that probably has influenced the world greater than for Christianity than Billy Graham. Do you know of anybody else to take somebody's place like that? I don't know one today living. We hear a lot of evangelists and things like that, but someone that was so well respected, that lived such a life to influence, and he had the same idea as Paul had here, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Folks, that is what we need to do. That'll be our philosophy in life. I live a life, I am committed to Jesus Christ. I said it this morning, we need to commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. He entrusted his life to Christ on that Damascus Road that day. And he said, I have been crucified with Christ. That means he was ready to live and die whatever God wanted him to do in life. He lined up eternally with the side of God. Now, I hope our lives are like that. When somebody lives their life or comes to the end of their life and the preacher stands before their casket, I hope only good things can be said about your life. That no matter what else, he lined up with God. He didn't line up with the world, he lined up with God. Paul took that all the way to Calvary by faith, the choice. See, he would rather be offered for Christ than live in a godless world. And he saw that Christ had offered his life up, and he chose Christ. Today in our society, we have young people that find a hard time lining up with Christ because they're afraid of what the world thinks of them or what their friends are going to think of them. It's difficult. That's the reason we need to encourage them. The old devil discourages them plenty, and there's a lot of people out there that discourage them. But we need to encourage them to live their life for Christ, make an investment in their life to live for Christ. One of the old songs we used to sing when we were, I guess we still sing it, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. There's no turning back to a life that you want to live for Christ. And I couldn't hardly believe as I went in, you know, I can't even think of his name now, Saddam Hussein, invited him to come there to speak. Isn't that amazing? He was so well respected that someone like Saddam Hussein would invite him to come and to pray. He wanted to see this man of God. And he had given him a golden watch that was there in his things that presented by Saddam Hussein. It's just amazing. I thought, what in the world would a man like that want to have to do with Billy Graham, but Billy Graham was so respected Christ in his life that this man wanted to see him. And he also prayed with many other communist leaders. He was invited into Russia at that time. None others had been done that. But yet they respected this man of God. Isn't that a life that's poured out on Christ? Man, I thought about that when Paul stood up before Agrippa. He wanted to see him, you know, and let him speak. And it also talks about the cleansing of his life. Why did Paul make his commitment? He said, he believed he had life been forgiven by God. Folks, we need to realize that whatever our past is, it's forgiven. God cleanses us from that past. Paul said it was grace. You know, it's not what we desire need, but it's what we desire in our life is that we need to get grace of God. It is the gift of God to us of God's love. And Paul's powerful Christian life came by knowing and loving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a comparison here. It's all because of Christ in his life. Paul spoke of dying with Christ. But he also spoke of living with Christ. Whether he lived or died, it was going to be with Christ because he lived by faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, it's faith from beginning to end in our life. We have to live our life strictly by faith. In Hebrews it says, what's not our faith is sin. And he was a model for everyone. He's a model for us today. I hope and pray that my life will be a model someday to someone else. He said, you know, I met that fellow one time, and all he wanted to do was tell me about Jesus Christ. All he wanted to do was live for Jesus Christ. You see, I believe it's a model for all our missionaries who are willing to go out and pay the price. Some are not as fortunate as Zach and Hae Kyung and others. Some are living their lives as missionaries over there where they can't even, they will be killed if they are found out. And we're not allowed to call their names at the meetings and things like that because of where they're at. You know, and it's a secret of Christ's compassion and Paul's compassion that he had. And he says, Christ lives in me. A living experience. He was literally a living sacrifice for God. Now, is our life a living sacrifice? I believe he did. Friends, a Christian is someone who declares that Jesus Christ lives in him and died for him. A lady gave me a little scent this morning. She gave me a whole bottle of them after I liked it so well. I don't know the mother's daughter's name that lives over here, sits over here. I know where they sit, but I don't know. They sit right over there where y'all sit, Jason, and one pew up. But she came to me and said, have you ever seen the cross in a penny ministry? Have y'all seen that? I need to give y'all one and buy y'all one and say, hey, use this. But she's a little penny, and she said, preach on it, use this as a witnessing tool. And it's a penny with a cross. I said, you know, ain't it against the law to cut out that money, destroy money? But they did. Somebody has. And it's a cross in the middle of a penny. And she said, this is to represent 1 cent for you. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And it's got that cross in the middle. And it's also to represent that I am the 1 cent to tell you about Jesus Christ. And that's all it was. And I thought, such an easy testimony that we could have for Christ when we come to somebody that we didn't know and God had led us to hand them that penny and said, this is represent 1 cent by God to die for you. And I'm the 1 cent to you to tell you about Jesus Christ. You know, that's a witness for Christ. He believed his life was offered to Jesus Christ, folks. He believed his life was one that was forgiven by Christ. And he believed his life was one to serve Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. If we believe that, It'll take us all the way from Calvary, all the way home, folks. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. Someone has said the greatest Christian hymn ever written was When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died. What is your philosophy tonight? I hope it's just like Paul's, to say, preacher, I am crucified with Christ. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. And my life is committed to Jesus Christ. Folks, if we will make this year a commitment to witness to people, tell them about Jesus. If you don't know how, I did a little thing, a study in the office about showing people how to witness to Christ. But it's simply telling people about Christ and how much you love him. And if you've got that in your heart, you ought to be letting it out. You know, people can see it. People know if you're real or not. It don't take long. So what is your philosophy? As you go out of here tonight, you think about that this week. What am I doing for the cause of Christ in our community? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for Paul's words. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we go out this week, we'll share that with someone, that our lives are connected and I've been crucified. I'm dead with Christ and I'm alive with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to make